You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number three. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. We'll wrap up today's show with our lock of the day, courtesy of Meadow Supermarkets Calgary. But first, in studio for the hour, the head coach of your Calgary Flames, Mr. Ryan Huska. Thanks for jumping in again.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a while since I was in here. I think it was last summer.
Yes.
Was the first time I was able to venture into the studios here. So thanks for having me back.
Oh, no, we're thrilled that you've made the trek here. So, you know, 1 year in the books here. How quickly did that go by?
Good question. I mean, there were stretches of it where you'd look at the calendar and be, really, are we already in this month? And then there were other stretches, of course, where you're like, holy smokes, it's a grind right now. So to answer that question, I'd probably say it was a little bit of both. There was times where it was flying by, especially after the trade deadline or leading up to it. I felt like it went really quickly from that point on. But other times, you know, it was a bit of a grind for sure.
How tough is it sometimes just to sit there and watch video?
I think if you were to ask all the coaches, that's probably the only good part of the season being over for us is they don't have to watch as much video as we normally do. But at the same time, you go home and from 5 o'clock to 11 o'clock, you're watching hockey again now at this time of the year, wishing you were in the playoffs playing. But it's something you get used to, but it's nice to not have to work it at the same level as we do during the regular season.
So what's the kind of few days that happen after for you? Obviously, you know, the season ends, you have the clean out day, you chat with all the media on Saturday. What happens for you for the next week or two as kind of things wind down?
Yeah, the clean out day, there's a lot that goes on. I mean, players talk to Craig and management, they come and have a visit with us as a coach. And then as you get going, it's more of debriefing and then cleaning up some stuff. And for me, I like to try to get some things organized for next year now while your head's kind of still in that space. And then as you get closer towards the end of summer, you can revisit it and see if what you put down or what your notes were still made sense or if you have to make some changes based on what our summer looks like. And still, like today, there's a few players that are still hanging around town that I haven't had a chance to visit with. Like Michael Backlund's still here. I'm going to visit with him today. And Rasmus Anderson is another guy that's still here for the next little while, so I'll get him next week. So there's still a little bit of that stuff going on right now.
You've got all of these players that have been around, obviously. Like, what is a conversation like Michael Backlund with, or what like at the end of the season?
For someone like Mike, it's mainly his thoughts. So you ask a lot of questions about what he liked and what he didn't like, what we can do better, things that we can keep the same. I ask for feedback on myself. So there's guys on your team that you really trust because of the experience that they have had. And I do really value their opinions. And Michael is definitely one of those guys that him being a captain, you have to work with very closely. So getting his thoughts on things that I guess a little different setting. So it's not during the season. It's everything's done now. He's had a week to kind of decompress a little bit. Getting his thoughts, I think, are a real important thing for being able to move forward.
How do you kind of self-evaluate throughout the season? It's your first year as a head coach, like you mentioned. You like to kind of tackle some things before you kind of take a little bit of off-season time. Do you find yourself during the season, you know, making notes about how you would change things, or are you kind of cognizant of that as the year goes on, or do you kind of do a big review now?
No, I think it's always ongoing for me anyways. I evaluate after games, after practices, like, was I terrible? Did I suck today? Was I, if we went flat in the second period after a good first period, it's like, was there something with my rotation that I messed up to take the wind out of the sails? So I think that's something that has to go on a daily basis, but I think it's even more important as the season's over to kind of, you know, have a real good understanding of what you're doing right, what areas need to be changed, and how we can move the team forward to get us back in a playoff spot.
Was there any points that you might be able to share where you said, I really nailed this, or kind of that one got away from me a little bit? Was there anything that kind of stands out like that?
Well, in regards to nailing it, I wouldn't say nailing it. I don't know. I don't know if I would ever go to that point, but things I was proud of, we were able to incorporate some youth into our lineup. And I think that's a real good thing for our team moving forward to see some of these young guys come up and not just play, but we had a few guys that contributed and became really important members of our team. And maybe the second thing that I was most pleased with was the kind of emergence of a good leadership group.
Mm.
You know, for the couple of years prior that I was here, you have a leadership group, but nobody was wearing the C. And the way Michael took that challenge on this year and brought people with him and those people supported him, I thought that was a real strong thing for our team. And it's something that I'm pretty proud of them and happy that we were able to kind of get them going in the right direction.
Was that far and away the easiest decision the organization had this year was give him the C?
Absolutely. There's hey, don't get me wrong. There's other guys. Like, we know Mackenzie Weegar, the way he is and the way he is. He's unreal with the media. What he says in front of you guys is basically the same stuff that he says around the room. And he's got the edginess to him. So he's an example of someone that he's not far off. But when you looked at Michael, the time he's been here, all the different things that he's gone through, the type of person that he is on and off the ice, the Calgary Flames matter to him, maybe a little differently than to someone else. So when he was given the opportunity to wear the letter, I think it just took him to another level. And it's not necessarily, you know, oftentimes probably when people say took him to another level, they think about points, like did he get points? But it's not about that when you're in the position that he is. It's having the confidence to, you know, step out of your comfort zone a little bit. And a lot of times when you wear a C or a letter, you have to do that in front of your teammates. And it's not an easy thing to do. And I think he did an excellent job with that this year.
How do you think you managed holding players accountable, yet being positive at the same time and trying to be energetic? Because you kind of have to do all those things as a head coach.
Yeah, I would. I don't know what grade I would give myself on that, to be honest with you. I think where I did a good job that I'm pleased with was you moved on fairly quickly. So the next day is a new day, and that's important for me. Tough question, man. And that's part of the self-evaluation.
Right.
I mean, I have to push these guys hard. Did I do it the right way? Can I change my approach with some of them? Yeah, for sure you can. And there's certain situations that you'll look back at, yeah, I could have been better there. And then now it's up to me and the rest of the staff to figure that out and make sure we are better moving forward.
What's maybe the biggest thing you learned behind the bench this season?
That's, you know, a tough one too, but I think the whole, it's not behind the bench, but it's the whole staff thing. You know, that's the challenge that I think we have to work with all the time, is making sure that you make it work with everybody that you're with, whether it's the players, whether it's the staff. You have to do a good job in that area, and I think that's an area that I can be better with for sure. I enjoyed being behind the bench in regards to matches, all that stuff. I don't necessarily think that was the greatest challenge, but finding a positions to get the best out of your players is probably the one biggest thing in regards to the team. And when you look at our team, there was a lot of guys that had good years, individual years. Now it's a matter of putting that together, so it doesn't become, hey, this guy had a good year. I want it to be about, hey, this was a team that had a really good year. And that's really playoffs. At the end of the day, you have to find a way to get in. Doesn't matter where people perceive your team to be at. You have to have that mindset that that's where we're going to be. And the only way to do it is to make sure the team is strong. So you need the players to be really good as individuals and have years like a Blake Coleman did. Mm-hmm. But now we got to connect it with everybody else.
How fun is that from your perspective, being a competitor? Because you wouldn't be in this position if you didn't have a competitive spirit. How fun is that when you go head-to-head with another NHL coach when it comes to line matching and trying to figure out what they're doing?
Well, yeah,
and some of these guys like have been around for so long. Like, I'm sure some of that is cool, too.
Oh, absolutely. And that's part of your after games. You recognize fairly quickly what other coaches are trying to do and who they want to have their matchups against. So that is a fun part. The part that I have to get better at when you think about it is after the game. You know, once I'm done with my evaluation, I got to let it go, because there's nights where I lie in bed. And that's something that I have to work on personally, is to make sure that I move on. And as much as I mentioned earlier, the next day is a new day. You know, you have to find a way to do a better job of, yep, this is what happened, let's make these changes, and then put it to bed instead of thinking about it all night long.
I wanted to ask you about that stretch after the trade deadline. You had mentioned that time kind of started to fly by a little bit, but those three games right after the deadline, you lose a ton of key players. I don't know how much you guys kind of felt like that was going to happen in the locker room, but it happens, and then you play three just Stanley Cup caliber opponents and things don't go well. Can you just take us through that stretch and what it was like for your team?
Yep, absolutely. You know, in the Florida game, the first game of that three-game stretch, we actually, for a period and a half, we played really well, where I thought we should have been up in the first period, probably 3-0. And then the game got away from us as we went on. But one of the things that I, in that situation, underestimated, because of all the noise and all the stuff that went on all year long, the players were dealing with it from training camp. So I felt like, hey, no problem. We traded two more defensemen. They've got this. They know how to handle this. But in reality, it almost gave the illusion, or what I saw from behind the bench, that they didn't quite believe that they could compete against the good teams anymore. And that's the result we saw was against Carolina, you know, the game that we got spanked in their building, and then Colorado coming back home, where they did the same thing to us here. So I could have done something better in that situation. I assumed, again, which isn't a good thing to do ever, but because of all the times they've dealt with and did such a good job with it, they kept belief all the way through the course of the year. But I thought at that one time, it left them for just a brief period of time before we can get them retooled and refocused that, yeah, they are a good team, and you can still do some things as long as you're playing the right way and playing together.
What were some of the keys to kind of, you know, that could have snowballed?
Yeah.
And the end of the season had some positives. Yeah. There were some negatives too, but there were some good things that happened in the back half of the year. And how did you kind of stop that and make sure that there were still some things that could be taken positively in a season where you don't end up in the postseason?
Yeah, well, after that game, I think our staff did a good job of, this is the way we play, and these are examples of us doing it the right way. So we had a pretty good meeting with the players. Then we went on to beat, I think it was Vegas. And then I think it was the next game was maybe Montreal that we had in town. So it snapped them back a little bit. So it took them out of the whoa, it's me mode and helped them realize that this is, hey, we do good things when we're playing the right way. And then you go through stretches. Like we went through the rough patch at the end of the year as well, where I thought we deserved better fates against certain teams. And when you take the beginning portion of the year out, which is a little bit of, you know, it bothers me a little bit how the year started for us, because I thought that set us up for how everything went along the way. If you take that out, I feel like we were a playoff team. You know, we were at the deadline 3 points out. We just had a harder time grasping or getting a handle on how we wanted to play early in the season, which I'm happy that we won't have that issue next year. So it should be about going and playing and just making sure that we're detailed and hard with what we're doing.
So you trade away three defensemen over the course of the year. Yeah. Now, you as someone who's, you know, ran a blue line as an assistant coach, I'm kind of wondering how the challenges of managing, I think it was 15 guys that played on your blue line over the course of the year. Like that year where you won the division, you had six defensemen and you had three pairs set like 2 weeks into the season and you rolled with it. Yeah. This was the exact opposite. What were the challenges? How did everybody handle it?
Well, and we were healthy that year too,
yeah,
right?
So
it was
huge,
those same guys. So the extra guys, it wouldn't have been a lot of fun for those guys because they know it's difficult to get in. The challenges, I think, and I think Dan did a good job of trying to, you know, incorporate them all in and make them feel like they had value to the team, is getting them to understand how we wanted to play at different times. So now you've got different partners playing with each other a lot. So there's different people coming into the room. So you think about it as a player, you walk into the dressing room and there's two new D-men again in the lineup. And then next night there's someone flipped out and there's another, a younger defenseman, or like a Hanley, an older defenseman coming in the lineup. So it's new faces. It's new personalities and finding a way to get them to, you know, come together quickly and understand how we played. That was a bit of a challenge, but I thought Dan did a good job with that.
Ryan Huska is the head coach of your Calgary Flames, joining us here in studio. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. When you're talking about your blue liners and trading them, how blindsided were you guys by the whole Nikita Zadorov thing?
Nikita is a really good defenseman. And from the first time here, first year he was here working with them, he always wanted more, always.
Which is what you want from a player, right?
Every player. You want them to want more. And, you know, sometimes when players don't get more, their minutes aren't where they want to be, they can get a little bit unhappy. And Nikita was a really good team person. But at the end of the day, when you factor in contract and all that stuff going on, I don't know how much of a choice you have in the matter. Because he was an asset that we had to get something back for. So I don't know if it was a blindside, to be quite honest with you. You have an idea as the year goes on. We have these guys that are unrestricted. Something's either going to happen or it's going to happen the other way.
Right.
And that's kind of the way it shook out for the guys on our back end.
Were the guys in the room maybe upset by how that was handled?
On Nikita's part or the team's part?
The team's part.
No,
because obviously, like, it was in Toronto, you know, the biggest market in the NHL, and how his agent went out there. And
well, that's more on Nikita than the team.
No, 100%. Yeah. But I was just wondering how the guys maybe took how that was handled.
I mentioned, all that stuff that went on earlier in the year, the internally, it was handled really well.
Hmm.
So there's Michael Backlund having a conversation with the group after that situation. And that's where I mean, like I missed the trade deadline one because of things like that.
Sure.
Where, the guys did such a great job with it. And, you know, Nikita's doing a good job right now. He's been a good player for Vancouver and he has been in the playoffs, but for our situation, it wasn't working out and they weren't able to come to terms with what was a reasonable agreement on both sides. And it's just something that had to happen.
Obviously, there was a lot of discussion around players that did get traded, but there was discussion around players that didn't get traded. Jacob Markstrom was a big part of that. Can you just tell us how that kind of went without the room and what your conversations with Jacob might have been like as the year went on?
Yeah, and the Jacob one is a funny one because what we saw at our level in the dressing room was the same guy from when he came in for training camp. So I thought he had a really good year for us. And everybody has a tough day from time to time. And I think that one day that sparked a lot of this. It was a tougher day. He just saw one of his best friends get traded away, someone that he's played with basically his whole career, from his time in Vancouver with Chris Tanev. So it was an emotional day for him, and sometimes we forget that. And then we ask the guy to stand in front of a microphone, and then something comes out.
It's like
and
they're
then
humans.
It's
crazy.
In situations like that, and we forget that at times. And even as coaches and staff, you forget that. He came into the NHL with this guy, played forever with him. So he was emotional that day. But the way he was with his teammates and the way he was with the coaches and in the dressing room all year long, he came to work every day. So I had nothing but positive things to say about Jacob. And I think he's a top three goaltender in this league all day long. And we are fortunate to have him.
Ryan, you played professional hockey. The way you see Chris Tanev, the way he would block shots for you, and the way he would block shots with his face, were you like, come on, man, like, what are we doing here? How does that not hurt? Like, would you be sometimes sitting behind the bench and go, my God, how does this guy continue to do this?
Well, I don't know if it's a pain tolerance thing. Like, I think I stubbed my toe and I'm hopping around all over the place, and he just takes it. So, it must be something in the water where he came from. I don't know what it is, but he is... he's a really good player for his role and what's expected out of him, how he comes to work every day. Dallas is lucky to have a guy like him, and who knows what happens in that series. I mean, that one,
right?
When you look at it, it's now going to be a tough series for Dallas to come back in. Mm-hmm. You're playing against the Stanley Cup champions now, and you've really lost home ice advantage. So, anyways, Chris is, he's a good player for sure. There's no doubt about it. But again, it goes to the same situation. If you're not able to come to terms with a player, you have to do what's best for the organization.
Were you ever surprised to see him out on the ice? Like, in a sense where something happens and you expect, like, he's going to be gone for the game.
Yeah, there's a few times for sure where he'd go down and you're like, Jesus, I don't know if he's going to come back. And then he'll go down the tunnel and then all of a sudden he's back on the bench and you're like,
no way.
Who is that? But after a while, it just becomes like, that's the way he is. And if there's something that he can physically play through, it's never a question. And even in practice, and we have a lot of guys like that, and someone else that's like that is Blake Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nights where I'm like, pretty sure he's not going to practice tomorrow. And then Kent would come in, our trainer, and he'd be like, nope, he wants to skate. I'm like, okay, whatever he needs. But that's Blake's very similar. He's got that pain tolerance, and he's got a willingness to do whatever is needed for the team and his teammates, which is pretty awesome.
You mentioned you're taking in some of the NHL postseason. Did you catch the Wranglers postseason game yesterday?
I did not see the game last night. I saw the comments that were made about it, something I can go back and watch today. But I know from everything and all the reports, Dustin Wolf was very good for them last night. And two younger guys scored the goals for us. So that's a big thing. And that's what's important at this time of the year for them, the team in particular, but those younger players, they get that experience. So You want to task someone like Dustin to be the difference and win games for the team. Well, last night he most definitely looked like he did that. So good on them, and hopefully they can continue to keep winning.
I just want to ask one more on that, because obviously you've had a whole bunch of junior prospects whose seasons have ended, Brustevich and Honzik and those type of guys that are now on the AHL roster.
Yeah.
Expectation to play is probably minimal. What can they get from just being around the team in a time like this?
I think a little bit of it is you're around the pro setting. One, you see how they do things on a daily basis, the meetings that the team's going to go through in regards to how they prepare for their opponent on that night and what adjustments may be. And then the good players, if they're not playing, will watch and they'll identify a player or a situation that they could see themselves in, and in their head, they can play it on their own. So you hope that players do that if they're not playing, because that's the way you make yourself better. But there's chances those guys get in. There always is. If the staff and management think that that Hunter, for example, could help the team, they'll put him in. So it's not just something that, hey, we're here to practice and that's it. If they think that this player can help the team win right now, he'll play.
I think there's 35 players on the roster, and Trent has to pick 18 of them. What are the challenges about playoffs in the AHL? Because this happens to kind of everybody.
Well, that's just it. Yeah. So you've now gone from your, it's like training camp a little bit, where you have two groups that practice. So you want to make sure the guys that are playing the game are getting what they need and they're prepared and they're at their very best when that puck drops for game time. But you also have to work with the other guys to make sure that they're understanding what we're looking for out of you should you get into the lineup. So it's a big roster at this time of the year, but it's something that is invaluable for the younger players in our organization to be a part of this.
We saw Matt Coronato score the empty netter last night. Again, from our perspective, I thought he had a big improvement since being recalled up from the Wranglers when he came back to the big club. What did you see in him?
I agree with you, George. I think that when he first went down, there was things that we asked him to work on. But when he came back, he was more, I don't know if detailed's the right word, but he was aware of his positioning a little bit more than before. But he also showed more confidence with the puck. Mm. So the key thing for someone like Matt, I feel, moving forward, the games that he was most noticeable in were games like San Jose and Anaheim, and they were a little bit quieter against an LA, for example, the game we had down there. So the development of a player is to, I got to do that all the time against all the teams. So the best teams now for a younger player, you have to recognize that I have to find a way to do what I can do against Anaheim or San Jose at the end of the year against a team like LA. So that's part of the growing process for these young guys, is to see and recognize, okay, there's a different level between these two teams. I know I can still play here, and this is how I have to go about doing it. So that's part of the process, and that's why it's nice to be able to get some of those guys games, but making sure they recognize that, hey, I got work to do, yes, but I'm on the right path, and that's important.
Do you see Connor Zary as a center or as a winger?
That's a good question. Originally, I would have said center or winger all day long.
What changed?
We saw him kind of at the end of the year. And, you know, I think if he goes away and he does a good job with his off-ice workouts and his training this summer and comes back a little bit stronger, a little bit quicker, like we would expect all of our guys to do. I liked what he did in the middle of the ice. I don't think he was out of place defensively. You know, there's a few areas that I think so you've played 5-6 games in the middle of the ice, the NHL level is not easy, but it's the same sort of comment that I made about Matt. Can you do that against the Dallas or the Las Vegas? Can you handle their centerman down low? And early on in the year when we first called him up, I didn't think it was fair to put him in those situations, because I think that's setting a guy up for failure and that's not right. He found chemistry with Naz and Posp, and that line was arguably our best line over the course of the year. But with us being out of the playoffs, you have an opportunity to try some different things. And I thought he handled himself really well. So it's going to be discussion that we'll have over the course of the summer. And it'll depend on if we are able to bring some new people into our lineup as to where we'll see him next year.
That is the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Ryan Huska. Straight ahead, we want to ask you about Martin Pospisil, Nazem Kadri, Andre Kuzmenko, and we're going to play some Flames grilling with you.
Oh, boy.
Where we give you rapid-style questions. Are you ready for that?
I'm ready. Let's
all right,
do it.
We'll do that after the break. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, the Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. We'll wrap up today's program with our lock of the day, courtesy of our friends at Metal Supermarkets Calgary. But he's still in studio, the head coach of your Calgary Flames, Mr. Ryan Huska. I kind of noticed this during the season, Coach, that Bosma still got into the skin of a couple opponents here or there during the season. How was it watching him sometimes doing, maybe the word antics is wrong, but some of the things he do on the ice, did you ever take him aside and go, maybe dial it back a little bit, or was there a lot of attaboys on the bench?
Listen, I wish we had 20 more of him. I will say that now, but you know, there's conversations. One, we don't want him sitting in the penalty box, and two, we most definitely don't want him suspended and missing games.
Right.
So, you know, you work with them about, hey, the right time to finish a hit, not the right time to finish a hit. Don't lose what makes you a very good player. But again, we tried to make it more about we can't afford to have you out of the lineup. So mm-hmm. be your agitating self. But it's not just that for him. He's got that speed that is just unreal for a big man, mm-hmm. And the ability to play with good players, which we love. So he was one of the more pleasant surprises for us this year, and we're so pleased that you know, he took advantage of the opportunity that he was given, because he's a real, real important member of our team.
Please go ahead.
Sorry, speaking of size, Adam Klapka.
Yeah,
when he's on the ice, yeah. like could you imagine playing against that guy?
Yeah, and again, I love it. You know, it's funny when you talked about Maddie going down and then coming back a better player. Adam was the same way. And I think mm-hmm. when he came up the first time when we had the opportunity, it was almost like he tried to do a little bit too much. And I understand it and I get it. But some turnovers, and he wasn't, you know, playing to his game the way we expect him to play. He came up this time and he was forechecking hard. He was trying to finish his hits. He was around the net. He was playing the game that we expect him to play. So that's a real positive for him, and it's a real positive for our team as well.
Wanted to ask you about Jonathan Huberdeau. How do you look back at this season, and what do you want to see maybe in the offseason as he returns for next year?
Yeah, you know, when Hubie had the tough stretch where, I don't even remember what month it was now, where he didn't get a point. I know that was very well documented. But after that, he settled in, and I thought his game started to go in the right direction from that point on. I don't know if you want to call it rock bottom, but for a guy that's an offensive guy to go through what he went through and kind of stay with it, I think it says a lot about him and the player that he is. And his play got better over the course of the season. In the off season, I think a lot of it is getting a chance to get away, like is important for a player like Jonathan, and then clear your head a little bit. And then make sure you are an absolute beast in how you approach your summer. Train like you've never trained before. Come back with the mentality that I'm going to earn everything. And sometimes older players, they don't have that mentality. But I think it's what makes the best players the best players, is they always have that. So train like a beast. Come back and give it everything that you have. And I think we're going to see him pick up his season where he was leaving it off the last portion of the year, where he was much closer to a point a game, which is something that we need out of him. But he was also committed to coming back to our own zone harder. He was a better 200-foot player. And I think that's the one thing that he doesn't recognize for sure, because he feels like, I got to put points up on the board. Mm-hmm. I got to put points up on the board. And yes, he does. But he's made himself over the last 2 years a better 200-foot player. So we can't lose sight of that with him. But I think just making sure he attacks this summer, make it a real good summer, and just come back with a lot of fire and energy, and I think he's going to have a great year.
How do you manage that when a guy that he's there to produce and make points, and he makes some low percentage plays that do work out, but at the same time, sometimes that results in a turnover. Yeah. How do you deal with that on your perspective?
Well, that's him and I. We have to find a balance for what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So I don't think you can necessarily say to him, hey, you can never make those plays, because that takes a little bit away from who Jonathan Huberdeau is or what mm-hmm. makes him a good player. At the same time, there's certain situation where he's got to come more my way or our way, where that's not the time to try that play. So it's more about, I think, me and him finding a common ground. Like, yep, I'm good with this. I wanted to see you do that. But at the same time, he has to be like, yep, I'm good with what you're looking for out of me. And I think if we can continue to work on that and keep building in that direction, then we'll be just fine.
How did he handle that benching?
like a pro. I thought he was really good with it. We had a good conversation the next day about it. Not an easy thing to do because I don't know if that's happened to him, probably since he was a younger fella in the league. But it wasn't anything so much against him that night. It was about trying to find the best nine guys that were playing. Mm. So we made the decision to go with the nine, and it worked out for us that night. But I thought he handled it like a real pro. He could have totally went the other way. He never did that.
You have some pairs in your forward groups that kind of tend to stick together, Coleman and Backlund. Kadri and Pospisil was one. Yep. Who was the best partner for Jonathan Huberdeau?
Well, there was times where Sharon Govich, I felt there was starting to be a little chemistry there. I felt the last five games or so, there was something with Zari that was kind of showing itself a little bit. It was still something that we never really were able to find the one guy that seemed to get the best out of Hubie and Hubie get the best out of that other player. So if you were to ask me today, I would say it would be a little bit Sharon Govich, a little bit Zari for us. I also think there's someone that might have fit well there would be Pospisil, but he had so much success with Cads that we didn't want to split that up because it was something that was working for us and it was working for Marty. But I do think with the speed that Marty plays with, I think that would be an asset for Johnny. But as I said, it didn't make sense for us to break that one line up or that one pair up, as you mentioned.
The Sharon Govich ascension, you had him on the fourth line at the beginning of the season. And it looks like he wasn't comfortable yet in Calgary. And it's obviously back to the whole being human thing.
Yep.
New team, new city, new surroundings. And then all of a sudden, he scores 30 goals and he has a great season for you guys. Just talk about his season as a whole.
Well, he early on in the year, the one area that we asked him to get better at was more competitive on the puck. And I think early in the year, we didn't see a lot of that. So we were trying to find a place where he would fit and add value to our team. And then you could see him over time early on, even though he had lower minutes, he was getting stronger on it. And I felt like he was getting more competitive on the puck. And then he scored a couple goals. And once he scored a couple, we bumped him up a little bit more, and then he just took off. So really, he had such a great season for us. And the part that I really liked about him, it's not easy for a player to be put in a situation that they don't want to be in. And by that, I mean he was centering our fourth line, if you want to call it that. Never complained once. Came to work all the time. We asked him to get stronger on pucks, and that's the competitive side of things. He did that every day. And there's lots of examples and situations where we would show video of him winning puck battles at the end of the year, doing it right. So he's the guy that really stuck with it and put himself in a position to score those goals. So we're really happy for him. And I feel like he's a real key member, and he's going to be someone that's going to help us win games down the road for a long period of time here.
How fun is that slingshot release he has?
I don't really get it. I try to tell my son, like, watch Sharon shoot.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really the Bedard pull in, like the toe drag release, as all the kids call it. He just kind of whips it. And whether it's how it comes off the stick that the goalies have a hard time with, or if it's just how hard it is when it comes off, he surprises a lot of goalies with it. And I think that's a big reason why he was able to get 30 plus for us.
How about the interesting case of Andrei Kuzmenko?
Yeah.
You trade away Elias Lindholm. In return, you get this offensive dynamo that is raw in the NHL. Tell us about kind of incorporating him into your room, what that personality did for your room, and just finding ways to make him effective, because he sure was at the end of the year.
Yeah, he was outstanding at the end of the year. I mean, number-wise. And, you know, when he first came to us, he was not happy with his conditioning. That was one thing. He felt like he wasn't playing as much as he would like to play in Vancouver, and he let his conditioning slide a little bit. So he got himself down some weight over the course of his time with us, which he was very happy with. He was sick for a bit where he missed a couple games, and then he had a back issue where he missed a couple games. So I feel like once he kind of took care of all those things, he started to play, and once he started to get a little bit of success offensively, he wanted the puck all the time. He wanted it on a stick, and he was making things happen. And a lot of times when you look at Kuzi's game, and the knock on him is he's a liability defensively. But when you look at all the numbers, like, he wasn't responsible for all that many chances against. So for what he brought to us offensively, more than made up for what he maybe didn't do defensively for us. So for coaches getting to learn and understand his type of game, seeing how, figuring out ways to challenge him, I guess, to make sure he's competing away from the puck as much as he does with it. Because the language barrier is always entertaining with Cousy, and I think people in the media probably have recognized that as well.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
You don't always know what he's saying. You just kind of nod and look at him a few times. But I think he did a really good job. And again, with him, I would give Naz a lot of credit. I think Naz did an excellent job of working with him and figuring out how best to help this player have success. And in turn, I thought it elevated Naz's game another level as well. So they fed off each other really well over the course of the year. But I was very pleased with how Cousy ended his season for sure. He did a lot of good things for us.
Were you surprised at all that Kadri and Kuzmenko worked together? Because like you mentioned, Kuzmenko really wanted the puck on his stick. And if there's one thing Kadri loves, it's the puck on his stick and shooting the puck on the net.
Yep.
And there's only one puck on the ice at once. Were you surprised that worked so well?
A little bit, you know, but when we looked at, when Connor was out, we looked at, you know, what makes Connor a good player and what makes it work with Naz. Connor likes the puck too. So he likes to hold on to it. He likes to possess it. And I think for Naz, once he sees someone that, hey, I can generate some offense with this guy. So this is how I'm going to do it. So Naz figures it out fairly quickly. If he feels like a player can help his line generate offense, and that's the same with Connor, it's the same with Cousy. So I guess the short answer to that question is Naz, I think, was a driver for both of those guys.
Ryan, I think a lot of fans noticed, I don't know if you noticed behind the bench, but Naz was really pressing for number 30 against the Sharks. Oh, there, did you notice that?
I was double shifting him at the end of the night.
We could tell.
I was hoping he was going to get it. It was one of those nights where Cole's got it, Weegs got it, Anderson got his 200.
Klapka got his first.
Klapper got it. He could have got a Gordie Howe hat trick that night. So it was one of those nights where you're like, Jesus, Wolfie's got a shout out going. And in my head, I'm like, Naz, you're going to go out and kill this penalty. And I'm thinking, I want to balance off the shutout here. And but everybody wanted to see him get it. I mean, that's
for sure.
As much as this is a team game and it's all about wins and losses for us, and that's how we're graded, and we will always be graded that way, it's nice to see players have individual success, because it shows that it matters to the player, but it also shows that it matters to the teammate, because they were doing everything in their power to help him get that goal.
You got a lot of really positive personalities in that room with Pelche and, you know, with Zeri and some of these other guys. But what was it like when you brought Oliver Shillington back into the fold?
That was a different moment for the group. I mean, he's played with a lot of these guys for a long period of time. We have a lot of Swedes on our team. And I would say that our Swedish players did a fantastic job of making sure that while he was in town, he was always included or over to someone's house for a dinner, or if Marky and his wife went to a movie, Shilly was their second kid, if you want to go about it that way. So the players did a fantastic job of making sure if he needed something, they were there for him. And then over time, you could start to see a little bit of a change in him from where he came back this year to see him progress along the way to the point where he was ready to come back and contribute in the lineup was pretty neat to see. So there's exit meetings at the end of the year. I just gave him a hug and said, I'm happy that you're back. I'm thrilled that you're loving the game again. So that was the most important thing for us and for him, to get himself to the point where the game mattered again and it became something that he loved to do and be around the rink.
Yeah, without getting too much into the details, like, I think that some of us were pretty surprised at how quickly he went from being around the team to playing in the NHL. Did that surprise you, how quickly he kind of took those steps?
Yeah, I mean, that's Oliver, though, too. Like, I don't want to use the word, I don't want anybody to take it the wrong way, but he's a freak when it comes to his athletic ability. So we were never worried about him a year and a half off coming back and being rusty in regards to the way he skated or his conditioning. Like, he's ridiculous what he was blessed with, honestly. Like, it was more about a little bit of timing with his hands and would he be able to handle the pressure again. And now the media, he's going to answer some questions. That's what we were concerned with. But the part that I laughed at, the whole plan, I would have liked to have seen him play a few more games with the Wranglers. He played one game. He texted me. He's like, I'm good. good to go. I'm like, well, maybe you want to get one more game in there. Let's see if we can get you one more game before we bring you back. And then he kept making the steps along the way. So it was great to have him back.
We know you have
Tell me the NHL is different from the AHL in one text or less.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm ready.
We know you have a meeting with Michael Backlund, so we really appreciate your time. One thing we want to do with you. It's a stupid game we call Flames Grilling.
Okay.
And it's a rapid-style fire questions, and we have 2 minutes. And our operator, Garrett Vanderplug, GVP, it's his birthday today. It's 24th
happy birthday.
Hey, thanks, Coach.
There we go. He 24, gives you,
my God.
Yeah.
What's going to happen tonight around town? Look out.
He gives you a ding if he agrees with your take. Okay. You'll hear a ding. Okay. And if he doesn't, you'll hear a buzzer.
Oh, boy.
Unfortunately, you'll hear both of those things coming up.
Hopefully it's just dings.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's going to hit you with a lot of dings because maybe he'll be a little intimidated right now, but that's fine.
Maybe. Who knows?
You ready with the music, GVP?
Oh, boy.
All right. You got it? All right. Let's fire it up here. Flames Grilling, the Ryan Huska edition on The Big Show with Russick and Rose on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Are we ready to go here? Okay. Coach Huska, here we go. Flames Grilling. Which rookie on the team surprised you the most this season?
Pospisil.
Oh, okay. He likes that. Which assistant coach on your staff has the best sense of humor?
Mark Savard.
Okay, yeah. I knew that was going to be savvy.
I thought Barbs could have been a sneaky ad.
I knew it was going to be savvy. Which current playoff series are you most interested in?
Vancouver, Nashville.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Like that one. Oh. No,
I don't know what the right is.
Why Vancouver?
Just the way both teams play, the makeup and the goalie situation. That's some interesting stuff going on there.
What is your go-to room service meal on the road?
I never have room service.
Oh, okay.
I always go out. I like to go and eat different restaurants around town. I want a ding for that one.
Yeah, I'd give him a ding.
In your opinion, who's got the hardest shot on the team?
Mackenzie Weegar?
Oh, God, no. Not Mackenzie's is accurate. Who's got our hardest shot?
Is it Rasmus?
No.
Sharky?
Different, though. Yeah, I'd probably say Rasmus.
Okay. All right.
He just needs to use it more.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah.
Do you drive for show or do you putt for dough?
Neither. Okay. Terrible at both.
Good.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Which fan base on the road has the best chirps?
I think in New York. When you play Madison Square Garden, it's fantastic. The environment's awesome in there.
Okay. MSG likes that. Best topping on an ice cream sundae, hot fudge or caramel?
Caramel.
Oh, he likes the hot fudge. Which milestone goal made you smile more, Blake Coleman's or Mackenzie Weegar's?
Blake Coleman's.
Oh, he liked the wing dog.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Ketchup or mustard on your hot dog?
Ketchup.
Oh, again.
Wow.
Oh, that's
a tough judge over there.
Yeah, tough judge.
Yeah,
we appreciate you getting into gauntlet that is Flames Grilling. Best restaurant on the road right now? There's a lot of good ones.
There's a lot of good ones. It depends on the city.
What type of food are you into?
I like steak, or I'm a chicken parm guy.
What's your favorite city to go to then on the road? Not for the game, just for the city.
New York.
Yeah.
For me, it is. Yeah. I love it. I love walking around in that city when you have some time off. You walk around and there's just so much going on. I went to a Knicks game this year.
Nice.
That stretch where we played the afternoon game in Long Island. So I got to go to a Knicks game, which was kind of a bucket list thing for me. And such a neat environment. Everything about that city. Yeah. It's awesome. It's just got a buzz about it.
Are you a big hoops fan?
I used to be more than I was. My daughters played. I used to be into it a fair bit, especially when we were in California. Mm-hmm. So I saw the Clippers play this last trip down to LA. So, and they
probably didn't see Kawhi though.
Oh, they load managed all their star players at home.
Of course. How frustrating is that for a guy who's a professional coach?
Oh my God. I get it. At the same time,
but fans pay money to go see these guys play.
It's hard. I know it's hard. But you recognize what the players do go through. It's just maybe don't load manage them all the same game for someone like me who wanted to see a couple of their stars play.
Yeah, you know? Paul George, Kawhi Leonard sitting great. It's going to be more man's playing.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who would be playing in that game. So
Norm Powell. Yeah. Coach Huska, it's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure. Let's do it again this summer before the season.
For sure, guys. Thank you for having me.
No,
enjoy the time off.
Thank you.
There he is.
And all the napkins and lines and all that stuff.
And the draft and the draft lottery and do whatever good luck charms you need.
Fingers crossed. We talked about it off the air. 6%, right?
6%.
Why not?
That's all you need.
Why not?
All you need is a chance.
That's a chance.
There he is, the head coach of the Calgary Flames. Straight ahead, we're going to take a quick break and we'll do our lock of the day. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, powered by mortgagestogo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. If you missed our conversation with Ryan Huska, what were you doing?
Clown.
Terrific.
Clown behavior if you missed it.
Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon. Check it out on the podcast. Also, a terrific interview with Charles Davis in the 7 o'clock hour, teeing up the NFL draft, which goes down tonight from Detroit Rock City. We got one thing to do before we say goodbye.
Yep.
And that is the lock of the day, brought to you by Meadow Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Meadow Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. How did we do last night, Patrick?
Oh, your Coppa Italia, Atalanta killed Fiorentina 4-1.
Boom.
The only one to hit the lock yesterday.
Oh, eat that, everybody.
I'm getting crushed this month. Absolutely crushed.
I'm still waiting on...
It's definitely going to be my turn to write something this month.
I think we usually write it at the end of the month and then present it when it's time to go to the next one. At least that's what I did last time. So now it feels like that's appropriate.
I'm going to go to the association tonight. It's the game that Matty Rose can't stop talking about during the breaks.
Magic and Cavs.
Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic down 0-2 in the series to Cleveland Spider and the Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell's been terrific in this series so far. But I am taking my man Banchero and the Wagner brothers, Franz and Mo, to win today to beat the Cavs. Lock in the Magic to win tonight. Lock it in.
Money line. Are they the underdog or the favorite?
No, they're the favorite. They got to win tonight, down 0-2. Otherwise, that one is over.
I'm going to La Maquina. Jose Barrios takes the bump today just after 12. He's been dynamite.
Yeah, he is.
He's a ERA sub-zero, 4 wins and 5 starts. Like, what are we talking about here? I'm going to take him over 4.5 Ks, under 2.5 hits, and also to record the win. Once again, Patrick, that is Jose Barrios, over 4.5 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Under 2.5 hits.
And the win.
To record the win.
Lock it in.
It's a must win in Tampa tonight for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are, I'm going to take them plus 210 on the puck line to beat Florida.
Whoa!
Panthers. I like that.
Woo-hoo!
I like that. GVP, where are we going?
Lakers and Nuggets. My Lakers give up an awful 20-point lead in game 2. We need a win. I'm taking the Lakers.
Birthday dub.
Yes. Wow, birthday dub.
Birthday
dub. Lost, what, 10 straight to the Nuggets?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tonight's the night?
Yep.
All right.
Book it. You heard it here first.
No lead is safe in that game. I'll tell you that. That's right.
Our lock of the day is brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. What do you got coming up at Mucho Big Show?
GVP and I will chat about which Canadian team.
Whoa,
is
Canada?
Worried. No, there's only four, right?
Yeah.
Which Canadian team is worried the most right now?
The Leafs expect to lose, so it's not them. It's probably the Canucks.
I would think it's probably the Canucks as well.
Because it's like, oh no, we don't have our number one goalie anymore.
And oh my God, UC Saros looks like a number one goalie to be feared.
Yes.
And he always has been.
Yep.
which goalie in the playoffs right now? You have to pick a game of all the 16 goalies in the playoffs right now, starting tonight, game 7. Who are you going with?
That's a great question.
Thank you. Give me a ding.
Ding, Matt Rose for that, but don't add to it.
You know what? I'm going to take Sergei Bobrovsky.
It's nobody from the Kings and Oilers.
It could be Bobrovsky's really good.
It's maybe Saros. It's nobody from Winnipeg and Colorado.
Right now,
no offense to Connor Hellebuyck.
Right now, based on playoff Hellebuyck's not good.
That's what I mean.
Ready for this hot take. Jeremy Swayman.
Hey, he's also
not that I don't think that's that hot. I think that's a good take, George.
And you think Vasilevsky because of his pedigree, but...
He was really good in game 2,
he was.
Though. He was really good.
Because my mind told me Vasilevsky right away just based on his history. But, like, current form right now, Swayman's
like,
damn good.
How are you going to stop Carter Verhaeghe in overtime?
Yeah,
you don't.
You can't.
You don't. You can only hope to contain him.
versus Swaggy. We'll be back tomorrow. Brent Cron will join us in studio. We
Frank have Saravalli.
More Arkells tickets to give away, and the big one, the gold medal game for the World Para Hockey Championships.
I have an idea for our text topic. How about this? Given what PK Subban said yesterday,
oh boy,
what is the cleanest thing that you can say on air, or the dirtiest thing you can say on air?
Okay, we'll workshop that.
We'll workshop that. Yeah, how about that? Something to think about for your day at work, friends.
Yeah, we'll workshop that tomorrow. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon. If you missed Ryan Huska in studio, he was fantastic. Check that out. Check out Charles Davis was unreal in the 7 o'clock hour, too, breaking down the NFL draft. We're going to coast into the weekend tomorrow after today's show.
Oh, don't tempt me with a good time.
Yeah, no kidding. We worked hard today, and tomorrow we're just going to coast into
the
weekend.
I've been up to like 11 o'clock every night this week watching hockey that wasn't the Flames.
And
so.
We'll talk to Frank Saravalli about Utah names tomorrow, too.
Venom, Grizzly.
Yeah, and him complaining about flying between
Yeti.
Nashville and Vancouver.
Okay. All right.
You could have picked 7 other series, Frank. Yeah. You literally
you get
run
two,
daily
two of
face
the greatest
off. You
cities
do whatever
in
you
North
want.
America. Yeah. You get 2 of the greatest cities in North America. I don't know why you complaining about that.
All right.
Well, that's a long trip.
Well,
I don't know. Vancouver.
Wow. He gets to cover hockey for a living. Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah, I get it. Vancouver's beautiful. But, all right. Okay. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Let's get
bye.
Out of here. Bye.
Sit, Ubu. Sit. Good dog.